Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away, so it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Episode number 13 of the Hunting Collective. I'm Ben O'Brien. Today, it is Lanai Recap. And if you're not aware, Lanai is an island in Hawaii, in the middle of the ocean, where all islands tend to be. It's got a lot of deer on it, and they're called axis deer, or chittle deer, as Adam Greentree likes to call them. And we're hunting them with a big old crew of archery ninjas, savages, that you all probably know pretty well. So, no, we didn't all get together to podcast. There was too many of us. Everybody wanted to hunt. They didn't want to mess around talking into microphones because they are savages. And so Sam Soholt and I, past guests of the podcast, man of many, many wares, photographer, bus junkie, things of that nature, got together just to recap the whole damn thing. And so this is that. It is the Lanai Recap. You'll hear stories about Adam Greentree, Joe Rogan, Cam Haines, John Dudley, Shane Dorian, Remy Warren, Sammy Soholt, and El Chapo, and more. So please enjoy episode number 13. And we're live. I always wanted to say that, but it'll probably get cut out. We're here in Lanai, Hawaii, in a house that we rented.
Pretty much heaven, if you like chasing axis deer.
Yep. I'm here with Sam Soholt. You may know him from podcast number, I don't know the number, 6, 7?
Somewhere right in there.
Yep. You may know him for that, or you may have seen his bus or his photos or all the deer he kills here in Hawaii.
I try to only kill one a year. I'm not like some of the other people that have joined us on this trip.
We're going to just call this like the Lanai Recap.
Yeah.
Mostly because we couldn't convince anyone else to podcast because they're all too busy hunting, killing animals, and they didn't want to be bothered with sitting down to podcast.
It's a funny thing because you're basically sitting in paradise, but like everyone's just on the go the whole time, just need to be hunting.
Well, the post I made on Instagram, it's like you're in paradise, but you're hunting, and it's the best hunting there is, and you can kill as many deer as you please, basically. And there's all day long, and there's deer everywhere, so it's, why sit around when there's an opportunity to be had to shoot a buck?
Yeah, I mean, you can literally be stalking deer the entire day if you want to be.
Yeah, if you want to be. If you can if you can manage it. Now we
or a lot of what we have done is walk around and scare things.
Yeah, I mean, I think how many deer were killed on this trip, save like what might happen today or tomorrow?
I think we dropped off 19 at the butcher.
Yeah, we'll call it an even 20.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of hunters, but I mean, with a bow, you know, most hunts you go on, it's like if you kill one thing, you know, save a turkey hunt or something like that. But big game animals, if you kill one thing,
yeah,
one animal on a trip, one buck, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
But here, it's like one buck a day would be maybe the goal.
Which is a crazy goal, but it's awesome.
Buck a day.
It's a, I mean, the amount of just like experience you can gain from spending that much time like sneaking up on animals is crazy.
So tell everybody who was on the trip.
So it was myself, Ben O'Brien, the host of the show, Cameron Haynes, Joe Rogan, John Dudley. Do you want me to go in depth of who these people are? Pretty much everybody knows.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about each one, you know.
All right.
Give it a little color.
Yeah, Cameron Haynes, some people might know him from running long distances and shooting things with a bow.
He does do that.
Yep. Has a fairly tiny social media presence in the hunting industry.
Hasn't done much on social media lately.
No, we keep trying to convince him to get Instagram.
He's old school.
Yeah, he's just Twittering it up out there.
Tweeting it. So we got Cam Haynes.
Cam Haynes. We got John Dudley, or Knock On TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he is was a professional shooter at one point and archery coach and, shooter of big animals.
Yeah. You'll have to excuse me while Sam's talking. I'm drinking a beer. I feel like it might. If you hear like glug, 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 glug.
So John lives in Iowa, shoots big whitetail, but also travels and hunts hogs and elk and everything all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Remy Warren, who is a guide all over the world, but most like Montana, New Zealand, travels back and forth most of the year, guiding and hunting and filming. Yep. And
Yep.
Who else we got? Adam Greentree was on this trip.
He was here.
And his wife, Kimmy. So they were both up. Adam is, how'd you describe him?
I can't. It's probably not for
probably
best
not.
Said on a podcast.
He's
a man among, like, he just is the guy who can do anything. And if he chose to be the king of Australia, I'm not sure if they have kings over there. Never been. But if he chose to be the king of Australia, he would be that. Because anything he does, he builds his own cabins, he builds vehicles, he kills animals, he just pretty much anything that he wants to do.
Yeah, anything he wants to be good at, he's good at it. He's one of those guys you want to hate, but you can't at all. Not a chance.
There's no way to hate him.
No, he's the greatest. Joe Rogan.
Joe.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not sure most people know who that is.
No.
But he has a podcast.
Say that a lot of your audience does not know who
he is. He's got a small time podcast.
Yeah.
Where he talks, I think, about fighting.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
He's here. We're getting to know him a little bit. Seems like he's all
seems
right.
Seems like a good guy.
Seems like he might make it in this life.
Yeah. I've asked him a lot of questions about his time on Fear Factor.
Yeah. I just keep saying, I smoke rocks, Joe Rogan. And he never laughs.
Yeah. But the best part about this year is Joe landed, got into changed clothes, got into a truck, parked, was shooting his bow at a target, spotted a deer and they snuck in and he shot it. It was like 15
minutes
into the hunt.
15
minutes. Awesome velvet buck.
15 minutes. Like he was here for no time at all. Since then, I don't think he's been stalking him up and hasn't had any other shots, but you take that all day. And then we had Shane Dorian, who is a professional surfer, probably historically one of the best big wave surfers in the world, native of Hawaii, kind of a guy who's been over to Lanai and hunted a bunch and was the first person who told me about this island when we were in New Zealand probably 2 years ago. So I imagine if you were to say, like, how'd this all get started, that would be it. This is how it would have gotten started.
Yeah. And if you don't know who Shane Dorian is, just YouTube Shane Dorian Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just surfing Jaws. It's unbelievable.
And when you're hanging out, and Shane is such an unassuming dude, that when you're hanging out with him, you're thinking, this guy, you know, he can't have done what he's done.
No.
Like, he's just such a normal, nice, he's intense, but intense in the most, you know, unassuming way that you can imagine. And then you watch videos of him surfing down a wall of water that's 100 stories high.
It's insane.
And you can't imagine how he would do it.
Yeah.
Who else was on the trip?
Who did we miss?
I don't think we...
I think that was it.
Can we say Kimmy Greentree was here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remy, we got him. That's everybody.
Yeah. John's wife, Shaz, was
Shaz
here.
Shaz Dudley was here. Yeah. She's lovely.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
If she could be... If she was a bow hunter, we might get John out of the picture and just keep her.
But overall, pretty good crew on this whole endeavor.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we started thinking about Lanai... So, yeah, might as well go through the whole story because that's what this podcast is going to be. Lanai recap. 2 years ago, Remy, Shane, and I were hunting New Zealand. And it's a great place. I mean, we were hunting a fallow deer ranch in the center of New Zealand in this little near this little town called Alexandra that Remy knows. And Shane kept talking about Lanai. We really kept talking about hunting in Hawaii altogether as being comparable to this ranch we were on and the amount of deer and things you could do. And so it sparked my interest then. And after that trip, I was like, Shane is such a great dude. I'm like, we got to hunt again together. And so we started talking about it. And then a year later, I met a guy named John Dubin, who is he's in some relation or is close to Larry Ellison, who is the founder of Oracle, one of the richest people in the world, and he owns this island. He's literally the king of Lanai City. He owns everything. And I met John Dubin, and he mentioned, hey, I'm starting an outfit on Lanai if you ever want to come hunting. And so I immediately called Dorian. I'm like, dude, we got it. Oh, my gosh. Worlds are colliding. We got to do it. So then we recruited Sam to take photos last year.
Yep.
Rogan to come flying in and provide a lot of the entertainment. And John Dudley came, and Shane came, and Remy came.
Yep.
So it was badass. And a lot of you might remember the podcast, Rogan's podcast that we did that involved lots of booze, and
yep,
cat ladies, oh, and Wesley Walls.
Yep, Tank Abbott and Wesley Walls. So it's about a half hour conversation. Look up Podcast in Paradise on Rogan's feed.
And good luck from there.
Yeah.
So we had a great trip last year and then talked to Dubin and the boys at Pineapple Brothers Outfitting this year. And they're like, come back and bring more people. So we was like, we can't go without Greentree. We can't go without Cam Haynes. We lined all that up and landed here. And now we're at the last day of the trip, and it's been pretty damn unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Sam?
I mean, even better than last year.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
Way better than last year.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
Because I think last year, you know, the outfit here was just kind of starting, and we were just kind of feeling our way around. But this year, it's like we knew what to do. We knew the guys. We knew the town. We knew the spots. We kind of knew the deer a little bit better. And knew what we wanted to do, and it from minute one.
Oh yeah,
shit was on.
Yeah,
it was on. And who killed first?
I think Shane did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was evening one. Yeah,
let's back up. John Dudley definitely killed first.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Dudley Dudley showed up a couple days early.
So Dudley came in to show us up.
Yeah, and he killed three on the first day.
So here's I want to say a little bit about John Dudley. You might follow him or know about John and his archery proficiency. He's probably one of the best shooters in the that I've ever met or in the world. Coaches internationally and does all those things. Been on this podcast before. But among all the savages, he is top level. Like, he's public land here is pretty – the deer scarce. There's not as many deer as there are on the private outfitted areas. Not only that, axis deer are not easy to kill. They're not easy to stalk or easy to kill, either one. And he went out before we were even here, like 7 or 8 days ago, with his wife and a guide, went to the public and shot 3 deer in an afternoon.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How long do you think it would take a normal person to just to kill 3 deer on that public?
A lot more time.
A week?
That. Yeah.
It would take me a week.
Yeah, and then another morning this week, he, you know, shot 2 more deer when I was shooting photos of him. So it's, yeah, it just happens for him. Yeah. He just makes it happen.
Yeah, he's not. And so there's just a mentality about that. And Sam has followed all these guys around this week, so he can has good insight on not only what the stalks were like or what the hunts were like, but each one of those guys and, like, what they bring to the table over and above just their personality and what you might know them as. Like, each of them has their own way to succeed. And what I've found is important for me is just to like, listen to them. Even though we're friends, I'm not going to ask them, like, how do you succeed, John? But, like, just watch them and listen to the situations they get in and understand the ins and outs of what makes them tick and try to take pieces of that and apply it to my own bow hunting, which hasn't worked thus far this week. But
no, and they all have very different styles.
Yeah.
So it was cool to be with all the different people and kind of follow them around and see what they did differently. And
yeah.
I don't think there's any one right way. You just got to find the way that works for you and do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a guy like Greentree is a little bit more, like, way more aggressive than a guy like Shane.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you were to break it down, you know, so Dudley goes out, kills 3 deer, sends us a selfie of him and these 3 deer. We're immediately like, did you hit those deer on the highway? Like, you can't just kill 3 deer on the first day. But he did. And to even go back further than that, I mean, Lanai as an island, he's a privately owned island. It's, you know, as we said, Larry Ellison is now the owner, but previous owner, there's a couple owners in between, but the most notable thing that anybody would know is Dole Pineapple Company at one point owned this island, and it was basically a giant pineapple plantation.
Yep.
So you could still see a lot of the irrigation pipes and a lot of the black tubing that was out there from the pineapple plants and that operation when you're out there. But it's essentially big, flat brush country. I mean, for lack of a better term, there's a bunch of lantana bushes and a bunch of, you know, tall grass and just big, flat, rolling hillsides full of axis deer.
Yeah.
Full of them.
It's a crazy landscape to hunt. And the change between years was very drastic because it's been so wet this year.
Mm-hmm.
So last year there was still all the bushes and stuff, but the grass in between was a lot shorter.
Yeah.
And this year it's like walking through a 6-foot tall jungle in a lot of places.
And so for you, like, when you're hunting in something like this, really any spot and stalk, but then you got to know the landscape. Like, you know that you don't have a lot of room. You really don't have a lot of room to move at all because there's deer everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to be in a coulee or be down in a basin somewhere where you know you can drop in and glass them up. Literally around every corner, there could be a deer under a bush or a deer in a bottom or a deer on the top of a mound or whatever. So in this country, you just kind of know that you have to know where the deer are, have a plan, get your wind right, and go slow, or at least.
And know that you're probably, like, if you're going after a buck, you just know you're probably going to blow some deer out between you and the deer, and that deer.
Yeah, what's that sound like, Sam?
I don't know. Should I do it directly? Is it going to blow
out
the mic?
Just do it right in the microphone.
Okay.
Hey! Yep, that's what it sounds like. Now,
so,
I've heard that sound 1,000 times in the last
least.
5.5 days.
Yeah. So that's when they're basically barking at you.
Yeah, that's their bark. That's kind of like, the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? Get out of here.
Like, there's danger. We're going to run away now. So it's great when you get like a herd of like 40 does that are all barking at you. Yeah. It's really
And then they're
pleasant.
Just talking to each other like, you see him? He's an idiot. Why is he over there? You think we can't see him or something? Let's all run together simultaneously.
Yeah. It's nice. Sometimes you get a nice cascading effect where you scare like 10 deer.
Oh, yeah.
And then they run and they scare like 20 deer. And then those 30 deer run and scare 100 deer, and all of a sudden you've just got a stampede running across the hillside.
And some of these deer are native of India, and they were brought here as a gift for a king. I can't remember the king's name, but we'll look that up and put that in the show notes.
Yep.
But they have built into their genetic code somewhere deep down this switched on will to live that I'm sure was baked in over 100 years of predation from Bengal tigers and jaguars, and just a pretty harsh way to live as these in their native country.
Yeah, they're pretty alert.
And they're like that in Texas, and they're like that here. I mean, they just have it built in. Whereas, you know, I'm sure there's some conditioning that goes along the way, but I think these deer are most connected to the way that they were. Whereas I've seen other deer in situations get conditioned to a certain thing, like walking around houses or being in an urban landscape. Like the white-tailed deer is a pretty adaptable animal. The mule deer is not so adaptable, but they are also in urban situations where you can walk up to them. But I can't ever imagine an axis deer walking around somebody's backyard at any level. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
But it just seems like a different type of alertness, if that's the word.
Yeah, it's a fun animal to chase. It's because they don't let you get away with much.
No.
And if they are on alert and you take a shot, the ducking of the string is unbelievable.
We'll fast forward to last night when Sam and I were stalking up some deer and some really tall brush and some lantana bushes and thick high grass. And on these red dirt roads, you kind of take your shoes off, get in your socks, and just slowly stalk down these roads. Be super quiet. Look for antler tips in the tall grass. Try to find these deer. See the deer before they see you, essentially, and make some stalks. Well, we went through a few stalks. The first one, a deer pops out at 45 yards on this road. We stalk up a little closer, stop, range it. A couple of deer cross the road. A third deer crosses the road. I draw. It spots me or hears it or something and is looking at me. And I send an arrow at 45 yards. The arrow went perfectly towards its shoulder, but the deer was buried in the dirt by the time.
Yeah.
That deer was halfway across the road by the time the arrow got to where
it wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close.
An entire deer's body above where the deer was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next deer I shot out, kind of same thing. 35 yards, shot through a little hole in the brush, and it ducked. And not as bad as the other one, but ducked.
Yeah.
On that. And then third one I was going to shoot at was 60-some yards away and wasn't looking at us. And this is the same range that he gets, 66. And I drew my bow. I was like, "Bomb City!" I said that shit out loud. It's probably the douchiest thing that I ever.
And then that deer was gone.
Yeah, there was no bombs sent to the deer. Yeah. So that's kind of just the way it goes out here. You're not scared to shoot an arrow at these deer because they are overpopulated. There are a lot of sick deer here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's directly due to the overpopulation, but those things seem to always correlate in these types of areas. So, you know, not that you want to take unethical shots per se, but you understand that it's a necessity to take some of these deer out of here. You know,
the guides of the operation, they're going out and shooting deer at night to just work on controlling the population. I think, you know, they'll go out and shoot 30 in a night, and then they donate all the meat to the town. You can sign up and
of course,
and get the meat. But like, just the number of deer that they have to coal out of here each year to maintain the population from being completely overrun is crazy.
Well, and you know, it's a pretty easy equation. You take a non-native species and you drop it onto a island that pushed up out of the ocean, piece of red dirt. You drop them here. You put people here, or they were here when they were obviously here when they were put here, but you try to dial in the cohabitation. There's no predation. There's no winter kill. There's nothing other than humans to kill these animals.
Yep. And there's food everywhere.
And there's food everywhere. Everything is food.
Yep.
Everything they walk in is food. Every bush, every tree is food. And that's what you get. I mean, there are thousands of deer here. It's nothing to see 500 deer in a night.
No. I mean, how many we see this morning just crossing from the flat back up into the trees?
Hundreds. 200, probably. Yeah. 300. That's all guessing. But more deer than you. You sit there and just watch them cross.
Yeah.
And so.
I think it's funny, like the sheds, you know, like finding sheds.
Piles of sheds.
This time of year is all fired up about hiking around the mountains and wherever and finding shed antlers. And here you can walk around and not even try and pick up 5, 10 in a day. Or if you go try, you could pick up a pickup load.
It's such a unique situation. It's such a unique way to think about hunting and meat and what our role is and what the role of hunters both that pay money. Because in a lot of international situations and in impoverished nations, like you're thinking of hunting bringing value to a situation. And I think hunting does bring some value to this island. I mean, it brings jobs, but it's not so much that. Like hunting brings tourism dollars. It adds another experience for people who visit here, and it adds a delicious meat to the table of a lot of people. And there's a lot of really passionate hunters here because they have access to this amount of game, and it's not really regulated in the way it is in the States. So. It feels different, man. It feels different to hunt these deer.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. Hey, Steve here. I want to talk about something crucial for any outdoor enthusiast, which is battery reliability. I've got Interstate batteries powering my gear. I have Interstate batteries in my camper. I run an Interstate battery in my boats. I use Interstate batteries because the last thing I want is to be left powerless. Interstate batteries isn't just another battery company. They are outrageously dependable. In Alaska, the boat dealer that we use for getting stuff and repairs, he uses Interstate. Whether you're gearing up for hunting season, planning your next RV trip, or getting your boat ready, Interstate has the battery for all your needs. With over 150,000 dealer locations, the power you need is always nearby. Interstate batteries aren't just about power. It's about being prepared for any situation. Don't let a dead battery ruin your adventure. Head over to interstatebatteries.com, use their store locator, and equip yourself with a battery that won't let you down. When you're out in the wild or just on your daily commute, an Interstate battery is your key to a dependable journey.
Feels different than whitetails. It feels different. I mean, it just does. And that, I think that's why we all enjoy it for a lot of reasons, but I think one of the reasons is you think about the axis deer as a whole, the population as a whole, not just, I got to go kill one buck. You're thinking, I got to shoot a nice buck, some call deer, a couple of does. If there's a sick deer, I'll take that out. Like,
yep.
It really is holistic in the way you think about the deer as opposed to, oh, I've got to shoot
a deer,
a 30-inch buck, and then go
right.
home.
Yeah.
So it does change. Is there any other places like that? I can't even think of any places like that I've ever hunted.
I've certainly never been anywhere like this.
No. Yeah. The amount of deer they'll let you shoot. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of places where animals need to be called, of course, but New Zealand comes to mind as a similar mm-hmm. kind of attitude towards game, but it's just a different environment. There's not as many of the animals plugged into those places.
Right.
So I think that's why this makes it unique.
Yeah.
And do your axis deer roar. Do the roar.
So it's a variation of the bark. It's not nearly as harsh.
It's a male. This is a male.
It's like,
now we're going to go into the male axis deer. This is the male axis deer.
I feel
deer.
Like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura when he's like, and now the mating call of a yak.
Yak. This is the mating call.
So this is, an axis roar sounds something like this. It's kind of shrill, but.
And scene.
So, for all of you listening, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I've been practicing all week.
Pull over your car. We're going to do it again. Sam actually tried that last night to no avail.
The problem is I got a little bit nervous, and so it didn't sound nearly as like calm.
Stage fright.
Yeah.
So it's okay to do it around us, but not around other deer.
Not around the actual deer. I had a little, I got a little too much growl into it, and then all of a sudden, all I heard was stuff running through the bushes, and I thought stuff was like running in. No, I just scared like
you thought your
50
deer. Roar brought in 100 deer.
You never know.
The hills are alive.
Yes, thought I was that good for a second.
So those are the sounds. That's the deer. I mean, the deer brings a lot to the table. I mean, I have more respect now this week for axis deer and what they are and their place in this landscape. And I think a lot of times you think about invasive species or non-native species, and they almost remove a little bit of their respect from it, you know. But in this case, I think Lanai has done a great job of just kind of embracing this animal. It doesn't really belong here. It's not from here,
yep.
but they've done a good job of kind of like accepting it into their culture and bringing it in-house and be like, the axis deer is our deer. Come hunt it.
Yeah.
Where New Zealand is kind of a little bit of the opposite.
Yeah, they want to eradicate it.
They want to take them all out.
Yeah. But, if you go to a restaurant or anything here, it's axis deer is always on the menu.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's just culturally just appropriate the animal. If you've got an animal that just is non-native but is now pervasive place you live, why the fuck wouldn't you just say, keep it?
Yeah.
Let's make it part of our thing. We're not going to get rid of it. It's delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
It's the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we, moving on the trip, Dudley was bombing deer early in the week. We showed up by Sam, myself, the Green Trees, and Will Owen.
El Chapo.
El Chapo. That's Spanish for the Chapo.
we're gonna circle back to Will.
Yeah, we'll get back to Will.
Later.
One of the best, probably one of the best hunters I've ever met, and a mysterious member of this tribe.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know Will Owen. A lot of well-known hunters here.
And I think that's been by design on his part.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be known.
No.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
He tunneled here. Under the ocean. But yes, Will Owen, we all landed. I wanted to just be here a day early than some of the other folks getting in. But anyway, we went out that evening. I don't think we killed any deer that evening.
Nope.
Did Green Tree kill one? No. But Adam and Kimmy were here. John and Shazzy were in one house. And then Shane and Will and myself were in another house. And Sam. And we went after it. Shane comes the next day. Remy Warren comes the next day. Then we had a whole crew of people running around the landscape, slanging arrows every which direction.
Yeah, I got wild in a hurry.
Shane broke this broke the ice by shooting a buck literally the first
afternoon.
He flies yeah. in, shoots a buck.
Yep.
And then that day, I think Green Tree killed two bucks.
The next morning.
Was that the next morning?
Next morning, yeah.
I know Remy killed a buck his first night out.
Yep.
Green Tree kills a couple of bucks the next day. John Dudley keeps indiscriminately just killing
all the deer.
Yeah, just killing all the deer. And next thing you know, we've got like 15 deer on the ground, and it's day three.
Yeah.
And then Cam, Haynes, and Joe couldn't make it for all the same days, but they rolled in on day three or four. Went hunting. We had the Joe Buck.
Yep, just, immediately.
Oh, that's somebody's name, Joe Buck. They got the announcer. We had the Joe Buck. So Joe drops this deer, and then that night we all got together at one of our houses here in town and had a hootenanny of sorts.
Yep.
And
if anybody watched any of Dudley's Instagram story that night, like the food tasted better than it looked. It was
unbelievable. It was good.
Yeah.
Let's just bring that back. Tell us the story of Bob the Butcher, because you have talked to Bob. I have talked to Bob a lot.
Start
us at the beginning. Tell the story.
So
Bob the Butcher.
Bob
make
the
your
Butcher.
Roar noise.
I'll make the roar to start the story, and then I'll end it with a roar, with a bark.
With a bark. And
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, don't do it.
So Bob the Butcher, our house, great. The house we rented is like, you can see it, like about 60 yards away is Bob the Butcher. So Bob was born and raised in Hawaii. I don't believe on Lanai, but he has lived on Lanai for quite a while now. And he tells everybody, he's like, I'm a hungry person. So I knew I needed to get better at cooking and cleaning game. And so he just has taken it to the next level. And so he's in the name, clearly a butcher. But you can bring your deer to him. He hangs it, skins it, lets it cool for a second, and then starts breaking it down. And the cuts that he does, I mean, he does the rib roast,
yeah.
like, is the most amazing thing to me. So it's, you've got the back straps that run all the way down the deer, and then he keeps the ribs attached to that part.
Yeah, basically short ribs it.
Yeah, short ribs.
Cuts them off.
Yep.
And you have like a Frenched out, I don't even know what you would call that at this point. Because we don't it's not a predominant thing.
No.
You
don't see it very often.
You see it some. It's starting to be, some people are starting to do it. It's a lot of extra effort.
Yeah.
For what I would say is a better result, but it's just something new that I've never seen. And you get the backstrap on the bone, which you never do.
You don't do.
Just don't do.
So he does that cut, and then it's, you know, shoulders and hams and everything, and it's all hung up, and he lets it age for a bit and cools it. And then he vacuum seals everything. And if you want, you can do like Kobe style beef, ground beef, like, or ground venison and make burgers that we had there.
Oh,
I mean,
Bob.
Everything that he does is taken one step further than most people are going to go through, you know.
Do we have the Bob the Butcher paper? Hey, Will, could you bring over the Bob the Butcher? Now, Bob the Butcher has a great logo. Will's holding up the t-shirt. It says, just gut it. I'm not fucking with you. It says, just, hold that up again.
Yep.
It says, and it's got like a blood streak.
In the middle. With gut over
Bob
it.
The Butcher is the best.
Yeah.
Bob the Butcher, Lanai, Hawaii. If you want to call him, his number is 808-565-7642. Now, if you're listening to this, call Bob and just say, just give him a shout out. Be like, hey, Bob, just heard on the podcast you're a badass. Keep it up.
So the other thing he does, so
Will, can you get it? It's over here, I think, on the table.
So he goes through this full process of cutting all your meat like into these amazing cuts, and then he prepares your hide, he prepares the head, and then he calls your taxidermist to ask what the way that they like the cape and everything ready for them. And so, like, he, you know, he's called taxidermists all over the world. But it's just, it's everything that he does is that next level, like just taking care of your meat and your animal.
Yeah. I mean, this guy.
Yeah.
And he gives you little printouts.
Like, and he's been bringing over snacks for us.
I mean, snacks?
Yesterday I was sitting over there, I was shooting photos of in the butcher shop and what they were up to. And all of a sudden he came out with venison meatloaf and avocado and rice, and
it was, I would move in.
Yeah,
look, with all the deer we've shot, we were talking about, we're probably going to be building him a new,
yeah,
when the invoice yeah. comes, he's going to build a new wing on Bob the Butcher Shop.
But Bob's been doing this for a while, but he used to live, he was telling me, lived on like 2600, him and his wife combined lived on 2600 bucks a year. And so they go either catch or kill all their food, and then they were doing like a few, they were cleaning some animals at the same time.
And he was a guide, right?
Yep, at some point, he was a guide.
Before the Pineapple Brothers had this operation, he was a guide. But here's like, he gives, I'm going to read all this. It'll be super boring for some people, but I'm just going to read it all because I think he just gives you a printout. It says, Bob the Butcher, cooking method for each cut. And there's like a 15 cuts on there. Tenderloins. Pan sear, medium-high heat, best served rare to medium-rare, of course. Rib rack, pan sear on medium-high heat, finish in oven, 425 to 450, best served rare to medium-rare. Guess it could go down. Like, you ever want to, what about neck roast? Oh, yeah, neck roast. Braised with liquid, low and slow, until tender. Sirloin tip, ground or braised with liquid or stewed. I mean, it just, this goes on and on. It'll just much of the same. But, I mean, he's got it dialed in. And not only is it just a great personality, but he adds so much to a trip like this that you have that opportunity to not only eat some of the best venison on the planet, but to have it prepared by somebody who is truly a craftsman.
Yeah.
Like, it's truly cares and understands not only the animal, but the muscle groups and how to cut it and present it and wrap it and yeah. vacuum seal it and label it and ship it. I mean, it is pretty astounding.
I think one of my favorite things about Bob is he'll tell you exactly what you did wrong when field dressing your animal.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the guides at Pineapple Brothers trained pretty well as yeah. to what to do.
Yeah. But no, and then, yeah, it's amazing. Because last year we didn't use him, and we trimmed up all the meat and everything ourselves, but it's just, you know, so we went home with.
Yeah, it was like Ben O'Brien the Butcher, not right. quite the same level of detail as Bob the Butcher.
B.O.B.
Yeah, I just like stick knives in it and peel off.
I don't know, there's no bone in there.
There's
anymore.
A chunk off of there.
What part of the deer is that?
yeah, last year we had like a condo and a golf course, and we just. The kitchen looked like...
That's why we didn't get invited back.
Yeah, we did not get invited back to the condo because...
I tried my best to clean that up, but it was
thick. Yeah, it was thick.
You just can't put six Axis deer in a fridge in a condo and expect things to go well.
Yeah, we didn't have any baking soda. We just...
Yeah.
To clean it, it just does not good for anybody. But hey, it's all about getting better. That's what life's about. But yeah, Bob the Butcher was a highlight of the trip. And if you come to Lanai... And you kill a deer, do not do anything with it other than take it to Bob the Butcher.
Yeah.
Because it just takes, he so we're taking all our meat home in 8 or 9 giant Yeti hoppers, and it's all vacuum sealed already. Is it all frozen?
Most of it's hard frozen.
Most of it's hard frozen, so we don't even really need the coolers.
No.
Which, you know, sorry Yeti, but...
But it doesn't hurt.
It'll keep them frozen.
Yeah, it'll show up at home and it'll still be hard frozen.
Yeah, in case they get lost on the airline.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's just next level stuff. And then when you come here, maybe you shoot a buck early. You know, you shot a big buck, Sam. But then you can start thinking about just the meat piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much meat am I going to have home? And then it really is something different to share with your family and friends. And you know, back to our little event there the other night with Dudley cooking. I mean, he cooked tenderloin with balsamic reduction.
Yep.
And there was other stuff like rosemary and I don't know what it was, but we'd have to
ask
Dudley.
He had a lot going on. But he did those tomahawk chops.
Tomahawk chops. I mean, it was melt in your mouth.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And he did. He cooked it first on the Traeger. No,
reverse seared,
and then seared it.
Yeah,
and then cut it, and then he seared both sides of that, and then would hand it to you.
Oh, it was like, it melted.
Yeah,
and the
burgers out of that prime, like that prime burger,
it's like jalapenos and bacon and cheese.
Yeah,
get out of my life. Unbelievable. But that was one. There are certain points I think in trips like this, and you know, suffice to say, Sam knows, and I know, and everybody knows. Like, we're lucky to. not only have these experiences, you know, with the animal and the place and the people that are here, but just to call this in some way a profession is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there's moments where, you know, you got to stop and look at the big picture. And like a couple of times this week I did. And one of the times is I was sitting at a table with Joe Rogan and Cam Haynes and Remy Warren and just laughing and eating the best meat in the world. And I'm just thinking, I'm not sure I can improve upon this any. Like, we may have peaked too early. I'm only 32. Like,
where do you go from
where
here?
Where do I go from here? But I think that's the feeling that I got from that one night. Now, we were all so spread out in this trip, and people were coming and going, and everybody's so intent and enjoying hunting that you don't ever really get to stop and kind of be together like that.
Yeah.
But we were that night, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah, I think we did a couple things this trip that really made it. It was the dinner with everybody.
Yeah.
And then we actually stopped for a minute to take a group photo.
Yeah, I caught a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, but
and I had made them all do it.
Yeah, but it was so worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's always one of those shots, like it's, you know, like that used to be the shot. That was the photo you'd get. You'd get whatever, a trophy photo, a grip and grin from whatever you shot, and then a group photo of who you were with. And those were like the two photos you came home with from a hunting trip.
Yeah, no. And if I were to put together like group shots of hunts I've been on in the last couple of years, I would. It might make me cry.
Yeah.
Like, it's that intense for me.
Yeah.
You know? I find, even with the podcast, man, like, engaging with people that care about what I care about, that I like a lot and respect a lot, is like a drug to me.
Yeah. Like, it's awesome.
Sometimes even hunting alone, I'm like, this is really great, but I'm a talker and a bullshitter, and I'd much rather be doing that. That's probably a detriment to my like solo hunting career, but probably never get invited on Solo Hunter for that reason. They're like, shut up, Ben. but that stuff it's like a fucking high for me.
Well, I think love it. I think Remy said it best. Like, he posted that group shot today, and in his caption, you know, Yeah, those are perfect.
Will Owen
has made a guest.
We'll talk about El Chapo. We're going to close the show with the El Chapo stories. But El Chapo has found what looks to be the tiniest binoculars ever. And he is now. He's drinking champagne. It's like 10:30 in the a.m. He's drinking the champagne.
No, but what I was saying is, I think Remy said it right, was you have a group of people who are, you know, some of the best hunters in the industry.
Yeah.
And have made a name for themselves.
Let me stop you there. I want you to continue, but when we say best hunters in the industry, I've been around a lot of them. You've been around a lot of them. People that make their money on saying I'm a good hunter, or make their money on being hunters or in the community. These are the best ones.
Yeah.
Like, they are the best ones.
Yeah.
We've seen it over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch them in the field and do what they do.
It's Tiger Woods hitting a golf ball. Remy Warren, Adam Greentree. Like, John Dudley, that's Tiger Woods hitting a golf ball. Like, they do things, produce results that just people don't do.
Yeah.
And so, Cam Haynes, same way.
Yeah.
Cam Haynes dropped an 86-yard bomb on a buck last night.
Yeah.
Bomb City.
No problem.
He didn't
Bomb City.
He probably didn't even say Bomb City like I did. Loser.
But, I mean, I think Remy said it best when he's like, all of us, anybody involved, came from very different backgrounds.
Yeah.
But we're all together because we all love the ass, like hunting itself.
Yeah.
And that's why we're all here.
Yeah, no, and I think that just goes back to, it's hard to parse out like the personality you see on the internet. I think that I'm glad why a lot of people have podcasts nowadays, because you can just really hear them talk and they have them in your ears and understand who they are. But being around somebody in those intense situations, and it shows you really everybody bonds together on the same types of feelings.
Yeah.
You kind of, I mean, I'm from the East Coast. I hunted as a kid. I'm a writer. I work at a cooler company. Like, you got, you know, a legendary bow hunter from Oregon. You have a fucking celebrity podcast actor, you know, commentator from Boston by way of California. I mean, you have a guy that lives in a bus.
Yep.
You have a pro surfer. You have, I mean, You have a guy out of Nevada who is a hunting guide. You have, you know, somebody from Australia who is, you know, a couple of years ago pretty foreign to our community, you know, but now it's pretty dialed in and close. So those things all come together, and there's not a lot of ways. I mean, you could maybe if they were all in the room right now, but to capture the energy of that evening, that night. Of course, everybody has got their phones out doing their Insta stories. I think that might take away from it a little bit, but that's everybody's jobs. And everybody just wants to share that energy with people. And hopefully people who followed along on whatever, who's ever social, we tried to make sure everybody was updating. So it was, seemed as frantic as it actually was in real time. But hopefully you felt some of that energy and some of the passion that these people have for this thing and that. Regardless of success or failure or whatever, because those things are nebulous, they happen. Like you succeed, you fail, you succeed, you fail, you succeed, you fail. And, you know, guys like Remy and Greentree have found formulas whereas they succeed more than other people. But what I think, hopefully that stuff comes through. And I would say just as a way of addressing anyone who would qualify as a hater, that I would be objective in this situation and I'd say that these are good people. Like these are people that, you know, whatever you may not agree with what they might post or what they might say or a stance on this or a way they present themselves on the internet, like really getting to know these people, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're not all perfect, but they're
none
good.
Of us are though.
None of us are.
Yeah.
So I will get off my soapbox, but I feel like I feel like when a bunch of people, notable people get together like that, sometimes it can seem, you know, on the surface, it seems surfacey. But
yeah,
but being here and it's just a different feeling, I think.
Yeah.
Was any of that make sense, Sam?
I think in your rambling, I think you got the point across.
Good.
I was going to pull a line from Billy Madison. Nowhere
incoherent rambling.
Incoherent rambling. Did you make any sense whatsoever? We are all now dumber because of it.
May God have mercy on your soul.
You are awarded 0 points. May God have mercy on your soul.
The end. Anyway, yeah, that I don't
no,
know.
No, I think that was important to.
Yeah, and I think
say because it could seem like it's a, you know, some sort of a PR stunt or a whatever, but it's. It was really just a group of people that wanted to get together and hunt together.
Well, and you could do, a lot of times people do films. Mm-hmm. And everybody on this trip had a podcast. All of us have podcasts.
Right.
And all of us have those things. But what I was happy to do with something like this is just see people throwing their stuff out to the world as they wanted to without having to have a cameraman behind them or force somebody to do a podcast or... Because I think being together and being excited and comes out, man. It just comes out in people naturally.
Yeah.
So sorry for everybody that wanted there to be a film, but I just don't. I feel like it's all so edited and so contrived that if you followed along, you got it.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got it because it was pretty
man,
epic.
It would be impossible, but it would be hard to pull off like a film. Like without having a camera guy for each person.
Oh yeah, and then it just changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
It really does, in something like this. But that was the high. I mean, we ended up, you know, we had that dinner. It was fantastic, and then we got after it. I mean, Cam killed a buck last night. Our boy El Chapo killed a buck last night. Everybody on the hunt killed one except for me. Sammy killed one.
Yep.
Sammy killed a giant 32 incher.
Yeah, it was fun.
And the Sam Flats.
In the Sam Flat.
And the Sam Flats. He kills a buck there every year, just nonchalantly walks over there and whacks a giant.
It's like, you have 45 minutes to hunt. Go.
And go. Got a lot of cool content and just laughed our asses off.
Yeah. For a week
a lot of
straight.
It's not for air.
Yeah.
Can't be for air. But, you know, and in a way of a recap, that's what it was. I mean, it wasn't a deer count. We never came back and, like, compared antler sizes or talked about who killed what. It was just like, tell me about your stalk and tell me about this. I mean, Cam and Joe Or no, Cam and Joe. Joe and Dud had a deal the other night where they were crawling up on a buck and they made the final stalk. And for some reason, Dudley had wanted to shoot a deer that was having sex with another deer.
So I think that was actually Green Tree that wanted to
do it. Is that Green Tree?
But Dudley has been in on two of those now.
So, you know, so Axis deer are spasmodic. They shed and rut in different times of the year. So you'll see all forms of like gestation, like tiny little fawns, you know, 6-month-old fawns, rutting, fighting, velvet stripping all at the same time.
Yep.
And so Dudley had seen a couple of bucks breeding does. I don't think he shot any of them that were never got in on them, but Joe and he got in on one with Joe yesterday. They were finishing off the stock, and a feral cat, as this buck was breeding a doe, a feral cat ran between the legs of the sex couple, and they ran away.
Yeah. They were 30 yards from a buck that was mounted on a doe, and a cat messed it up. Honestly, it was revenge of the cat lady.
Yeah, the cat lady. Going back to last year, John Dudley
invented a drink.
He's a terrible alcoholic.
Awful.
We should probably have some sort of intervention. But he's fun, so we let it happen. He put, you're going to have to walk with tequila.
Tequila, red wine, and Red Bull.
Into a cup.
Yep.
And then drank it.
Yeah. And he named it the cat lady.
And he named it the cat lady, probably based on the fact that no one would ever talk to him again after he drank it. That became, people started making those and mm-hmm. drinking them after last year.
Yep.
As well as Joe and Dudley got into a drunken fight about Wesley Walls, the fighter, whether or not he had actually fought Tank Abbott at some event.
It was like a half hour conversation. Yeah.
And so then people started doing like Wesley Walls Instagram accounts trolling the shit out of everybody, which was fantastic. Thanks for those guys who did that.
We've had some cool stuff happen on this trip. I mean, everybody's been in on countless stalks.
Oh yeah.
You know, seen countless deer. Yeah, it's just, I mean, can you imagine? So I was thinking about it while we were talking about it. I mean, there's so many deer, and we shot a lot of deer this week. But could you imagine if the population density was, you know, like a normal place, trying to sneak in? Like, if, you know, like, okay, there's 30 deer that live in that pat, you know, that one big flat or whatever.
Yeah.
Like trying to do like a single stalk on a buck.
And then you spook them, and you're like,
spook them.
You feel so terrible.
Yeah. Like, the success rate would not be even close.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, it wouldn't be. And that's just what makes this different. I mean, you can go out. Shane Dorian's pretty famous for being just like, give me a peanut butter jelly sandwich, I'll see you in 3 days. And he just crawls on his belly until a deer is close enough. If it takes 8 hours, fine. If it takes 16, no big problems there.
And last year, Shane, you know, didn't kill anything for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then he killed on the evening of the fourth day, and then two on the last day. But it was, and then this year he just came out swinging,
just dropping big bucks like it was his job.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think those things happen.
Yeah.
You know, people have good days, bad days, and whatever. But I, you know, the big part for me was trying to realize, like, some days I didn't even think about the big picture, where I was, who I was with. It was logistics in the morning. It was stalking deer all day. It was getting people picked up. It was getting dinner for the evening, and then it was going to sleep.
Yeah.
And if you could make it through that without crashing, it was a good day.
Yeah.
Maybe get a deer, whatever's fine. But there's moments where you have to stop and be like, well, wait a minute. Am I just, what?
Yeah.
You know?
You're in Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday awesome Remy and I were tracking a buck that he hit and killed, and him and I just kind of paused a little bit, and we were by the coast and could see out into the ocean. You could see Maui across the way, and I just sat down on the hill and just looked out there, and like, wow. Like, if I waste the rest of this day, not waste, but if I use the rest of this day to think about killing deer, I've wasted some minutes of this because what's really important. But then you think, you know, what really makes you a successful hunter if you don't give a shit about anything else but killing deer?
Right.
You know, that's probably why I've killed zero and Remy killed five and it's gone and left.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. Hey, Steve here. I want to talk about something crucial for any outdoor enthusiast, which is battery reliability. I've got Interstate batteries powering my gear. I have Interstate batteries in my camper. I run an Interstate battery in my boats. I use Interstate batteries because the last thing I want is to be left powerless. Interstate batteries isn't just another battery company. They are outrageously dependable. In Alaska, the boat dealer that we use for getting stuff and repairs, he uses Interstate. Whether you're gearing up for hunting season, planning your next RV trip, or getting your boat ready, Interstate has the battery for all your needs. With over 150,000 dealer locations, the power you need is always nearby. Interstate batteries aren't just about power. It's about being prepared for any situation. Don't let a dead battery ruin your adventure. Head over to interstatebatteries.com, use their store locator, and equip yourself with a battery that won't let you down. When you're out in the wild or just on your daily commute, an Interstate battery is your key to a dependable journey.
So, it just goes to show you. I mean, there's a lot of people that claim to be really good at hunting or present themselves in such a way, but no one that I know, very few that I know, could do what Remy did or do what Adam did or do what Shane did. Very few.
In a short period of time.
In a short period of time. Yeah. Very few. Yeah. Dudley, Cam, same. I mean, that's just let a bunch of savages loose on a giant herd of deer.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happened next. And that brings me to the story of El Chapo.
Now, where do we begin?
There's nowhere. Like, there's a lot of mystery. I don't even know where El Chapo's from. I work with him. He's from Houston, maybe. Somewhere in the suburbs of Houston. North of Galveston. South of fuck, who cares? You know, and he's just El Chapo. Now, El Chapo is a ripe old 26 years of age. He's a native Texan. And he's kind of like my consigliere. He's like the Robert Duvall to my godfather. What was his character's name? Whatever. I'm Marlon Brando, and he is Robert Duvall. I'm actually not Marlon Brando, but he's definitely Robert Duvall. And he takes care of a lot. He just takes care of things.
Yeah.
And laughs at all the dumb shit that I do at appropriate times. And before he worked at Yeti, I don't know what he did, but he may have, you know, I think he's saying he went to college. I don't believe that.
No.
I think he may have been like a drug runner on the coast or something.
He was running, he had owned, yeah, he was the top guy at some big ring of, you know.
Right. Now, we did
He worked in shipping.
Shipping, yes. He flew a plane. Yeah, he did tourism. Now, if you look at the photo of all of us from this trip, the one that mm-hmm. Remy posted and Cam posted and everybody posted, there's one man there that
you might not recognize.
Shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
And it's El Chapo.
That's El Chapo.
And there's not, you don't need to know a whole lot of El Chapo. And the reason we call him El Chapo is as mysterious as El Chapo himself. Because nobody knows. I mean, he looks like a young, you know, he's got a ponytail. He's got a flowing black mane of hair. Kind of like an Arabian horse or something like that. That's what it's.
He's kind of got hair like.
He's got a beard.
Who is the guy that played for the Steelers?
Oh, Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
He's kind of got a Troy Polamalu do.
Yeah.
And a beard, a patchy beard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a stout fellow. But he's there in the picture. And I think a lot of people are wondering, who is this person?
Yeah.
And why is he in that group photo? Yeah.
At that point of the group picture, he had not killed the deer yet.
Now, El Chapo's, you know, is a fairly, you know, he's got shit together. Like, he knows what he's doing. Now, and he hunted a lot with me this week. We had myriad of failures. He was probably following me around going, what the fuck is this guy doing? But finally, like a day and a half ago, we let El Chapo loose on his own to go feral and just get it done. Like, he just became part of the landscape. And now
he's gone forever to the island of Lanai.
Yeah. I thought maybe we'd never see him again.
Or he would worried just, like, last night.
Live under a lantana bush for the next 3 years. But 2 days ago, El Chapo kind of started going on his own, stalking up deer. And he would just be, I don't know that El Chapo's a big fan of the belly crawl. It seems like it's a lot of work.
He's
more of a
no,
crouch walker.
So, yeah.
You know?
That's okay.
That led to a lot of spookings, I believe.
Yep.
But eventually.
A lot of,
yeah, a lot of that. Yeah. Not a lot of roars. A lot of spooks. But eventually he got on it. And yesterday we were leaving for the evening hunt. Sam and I were going to hunt together. Whereas I would shoot at all the does and they would duck the arrows. But El Chapo was going by himself. And he had perfected. He had
his system dialed.
He had perfected the El Chapo deer killing system, which goes something like this. He's had about $7,000 worth of Sitka clothes on.
Yep.
He had Sitka pants.
Yeah.
In the new Subalpine.
Yeah.
Newer Subalpine. They were the Apex pants, I believe, or the Ascent. He had an Ascent shirt on and an undergarment of Sitka as well, synthetic undergarment for the Ascent line. He was wearing a Sitka hat, and his mane of hair was flowing from beneath it.
And he had the Sidekick Dry.
He had the Yeti Sidekick Dry as a fanny pack.
Yep.
To keep all his sundry items in there.
Yep.
And finally, he was wearing a pair of, like, dad socks.
Yeah,
that he clearly got it. His dad got it Kohl's in like 1999, like with the real aggressive threads on the fucking leg part. And he was wearing those. I think he had his Sitka pants tucked into those.
Absolutely.
And they were just jet white.
Yeah.
And he was going to hunt like that because shoes were too loud.
He didn't even bring his shoes. He said,
"Didn't even bring them."
He goes, "Last day and a half, all I've done is tie my shoes to my belt. I don't need them."
He walked out of the house. He walked out of the house with a beer in one hand,
a bow in the other,
and his Sitka pants tucked into his
white tube socks.
And
that is a memory that will be ingrained.
There was this crazy loose hairs, sticking out of this hat, just going every direction, and he just didn't give a shit.
Nope.
You know how you've been hunting for 5 days and not killed something, and you give zero fucks now.
Yep.
And we'll just reach that point.
The best was we got out there, and he's like, "I don't have my phone. I'll see you at the road.
Yeah. And just disappeared into the bushes.
just
disappeared
like an
into the bushes.
Deer just gone into the sea just of gone. Botanical garden.
It's never to be seen.
And then we tried to find him on the road.
We went hunting and failed. Yeah. I failed. And went back to find him on the road, and he was gone. He was not there.
Yep.
And we were a bit worried. We thought maybe he had taken up the herd, gone north. But then we got a text from someone else's phone, from John Dudley's phone. It said, "Hey, it's Will. I killed a buck. I am the
I'm
best.
I'm with the guide.
I'm with the guide." And then we knew that El Chapo's reign had begun.
Yep.
And he shoots this buck at like 30 yards. And that was 5 days of effort all culminated.
Yeah. And that wasn't the end of it. He then shoulder slings it.
So let's talk about, what was it called?
Duffel button.
Duffel button.
Yeah.
Adam Greentree likes to do something called duffel button.
Yeah. So you cut the hole in the back legs where you would hang it. And then in the front legs, you cut them at the joint. And then you peel the tendon back a little bit. And then you can slide part of the front leg through the hole in the back leg. And
now you've got a deer pack.
You can basically put it on like a backpack. So I had explained this very briefly, not in depth at all, to El Chapo in the morning.
Yeah.
After Greentree had done it.
And the chop was he was intrigued.
Yep. And he decided to try it. It did not go well. It ended up, he just threw the deer over his shoulder and walked like a mile in his white socks just, to the road.
Can you imagine
and
El
then
Chapo?
He got there and Alec, the guide, goes, "Why didn't you just leave it there? We could have driven to it."
And his fanny, his Yeti Sidekick fanny pack was covered in blood.
Oh, just covered. Yeah.
And he was just, I mean, can you imagine that? It was like a scene from like Black Hawk Down or something. He was carrying out one of his comrades. But apparently he shot this deer 30 yards and it just dropped in his tracks. Probably because it saw his thick look in his eyes. It was like, fuck, this can't go any further.
Oh, that's perfect.
But that's, you know, that's El Chapo for you. I mean, he's an animal.
Yep.
He's an animal. And, I mean, he has a lady friend, and so unfortunately, he's not single.
Yep.
But if he was, hopefully this would rev the engine on that. So that's the chop for you. And that in he's going to bring home meat to his family,
mm-hmm.
just based on his...
A whole hopper full of deer meat.
Yeah, it's based on his giving zero fucks yesterday and just got it done. And that brings me to me. Now, I am a hunter of sorts. Been doing it for a couple of decades there.
A while.
Other people have killed half a dozen deer during this trip. I have killed zero deer.
I've had some rough luck this week, man.
Now, just cut it to me straight, Sam. Just bring the real story. Am I terrible?
No. No, you've had things go wrong.
But have I been just not on my game, do you feel?
I don't know. Could be it. Maybe you weren't mentally sync.
It's true.
It's possible.
El Chapo, what do you think? El Chapo says I should just let loose. He said, take your shoes off, let the juice loose.
Drink another Pacifico and get back out there.
Let the juice loose. Now, we do have the rest of today. So maybe I'll get one, but
yeah. Then you can add that in the final.
In the addendum.
Yeah.
For the final. Like, bitches, I got one. But I've had like deer, I've had multiple bucks, probably 5 bucks that I wanted to shoot within 20 yards. And each time one was bedded and it crawled around a bush, one was bedded, all I had to do was stand up and walk one step any of three directions and it would have died, and it walked straight away from me. Covered up from a bush. I had one this morning come out at 45 yards. My rangefinder wouldn't work. I had one the other morning.
The very first morning you had one at like 15 yards that was just behind a bush.
Yeah, I had one at 15 yards. I could see it. It's just its antlers are behind a thick bush. I had deer 40 yards and had a little fawn hop up for like 3 feet in front of me and give me this noise.
Hey,
that one. And we were making jokes. This might not be funny to the listeners, but it's funny to me. So they're fucking going to hear it and just deal with it. So this doe, I'm stalking up these deer, and this doe literally is feet away from me. And I'm crawling on my belly trying to get to this velvet buck. And this little fawn hops up and barks right in my face at 3 feet. And if anybody's ever seen Jurassic Park, there's a scene where the British professional hunter gets killed by the raptors. And when the female raptor pops up to just take him out, he goes, "Clever girl." And when that fawn popped up in my head, I just went, "Clever girl." And the hunt was over then. And they all ran. And so I've had a myriad. The other day with Remy, yesterday with Remy, in the morning, I was like 10 feet from a bedded deer. And I went to draw and try to get him to stand up. And not only did he not stand up, he crawled. I saw where he did it. He crawled under the bush and put his antlers in the bush and then wrapped around the bush and laid there while I was 10 feet away.
Just holding tight.
Holding tight. I was making turkey gobbles. I was doing meh. And he just held tight, and then he waited and waited and burst out of there like a cannon, and he was gone.
Yeah, it's not an easy species to go after.
Which just denotes the level of skill that we've got hanging around here.
Yep.
At some level. What else do you want to say about this hunt, Sam? I feel like we're coming to the tail end of our podcast.
I mean, there's not much more to say. I mean, it's just last year was a blast. And you never know, like, how round two is going to go. Like, it could either be way better, or it could be, you know, like, last year was all new and fun and exciting. Yeah. And so it was all this, you know, and then you hype it up too much in your mind, and then it turns out, like, it's not like that again. But it was way better this year.
Way better.
Than it was last year, even.
Way so, better. Way yeah. more fun, way more laughs, way more deer kills.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Hopefully, you know, the hunting community, I think a lot of people followed along and have, you know, put some attention on our efforts here this week. And I think what's important is that there's a bunch of people who are trying to represent everyone,
yep.
you know, and have been given a platform to do that. I think that's what's important to me, is that there's three things. It's the platform, it's the people, and it's the message. Those are the things that are important to me. And reason why we put these hunts together is for that reason, because it elevates not only the message, but the people, and they already have the platform, which is social media or whatever.
Yep.
So I think that's what's important. And hopefully everyone can think about that in their hunting lives, man. It's like, think about the people you hunt with. Like, are they making you better? Are they challenging you to be better? Are they challenging you to do things in a different way, or pushing you to be good and thoughtful? And, you know, like, what's your message to everyone else? If you choose to talk to everyone, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Shit, you can go hunt and never say a word about it.
Yeah.
You don't want to. But and then what's the platform that you want to tell that story in? And if you can think in those three ways, then I think you're doing it right. And I think all the people that we've hunted with this week have figured that shit out in spades.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all the better for it.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Agreed.
Yep.
Perfect. Look up El Chapo. I want you to all follow him.
Everybody needs to follow him.
He does have a very exciting Instagram. Maybe this trip will... This will
help.
But it's mystery. Like,
although the only... Because he didn't have his phone when he shot his deer, the only photo that he has is a screenshot that I took of his deer hanging in Bob the Butcher's shop.
Yeah. Not only, like, it adds to the level of mystery.
Yeah.
Did he shoot a deer?
No, it doesn't matter.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
I mean, his fanny pack's covered in blood. That's good evidence.
Do we need to give out his handle?
Yeah, we should do it.
So it's at WillOwen92.
Yep. His real name is El Chapo, but his fake stage name is Will Owen.
His pen name, if you will.
He was born in the year 1992. Which it makes me a young man. A lot of room to grow. But forever, will be able to say he was the star of Lanai Part 2.
Yep.
Really was. Okay. Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you.
Bye. So that's it. Episode number 13 in the books. Thanks for joining. Thanks to Sam for sitting in, talking with me, helping to recap what was an epic trip in an epic place. Great people. Great meat for the table. Stories to last us quite a long time, and hopefully it'll all be encapsulated in a bunch of good content, a bunch of good photos that we're all able to share with you guys. If you want to see any of the content from the trip, you can check out some of Yeti's Instagram posts or any of the social media of any of the guys that were on the trip. It should be pretty cool. You should be able to get a good idea of what it was like to be here and hunt this amazing place with these amazing people and kind of what I would say is one of the best hunting crews ever assembled, save for myself, because I didn't kill any deer, unless I do right after I record this, and I'll tell you all about it. But thanks for joining. If you want to go to thehuntingcollective.com, you can check out articles, videos, podcasts, the other 12 podcasts. Last week was Fred Eichler. Please go listen to that one. Fred's a badass. Had a good time turkey hunting with him out in Colorado. Didn't do a bunch of advertising on that podcast because I was running Quick Lanai, but it is up. A lot of people have already listened to it and commented on it, but please go listen to that podcast with Fred. I love that guy. Other than that, you got Steve Ranella, you've got John Dudley, you've got Aubrey Marcus, Charles Post, Shane Mahoney. There's a bunch of them. So go check them out. Whether you like wild game cooking from somebody like Jesse Griffiths, or you want tips and tactics from somebody like Aaron Snyder, you're going to get it there at thehuntingcollective.com. So thanks for listening to episode number 13. We'll see you next week. Bye.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.